Hi, I'm Fred Schonenberg, and thank you for joining me on the Venture Fuel podcast. At Venture Fuel, we help companies find new solutions by partnering with the best startups from around the world. On the show, you'll learn the secrets of business leaders who tap into startups and the founders driving extraordinary results. We'll consider new ideas, stretch our mindsets beyond the status quo, and in the process, discover how to leap the competition and fuel personal growth. Welcome to the Venture Fuel Visionaries podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a great episode today. This was recorded live on our Rogue Women event series on March 24th, 2022. The subject of this is family, financial, and career health around the financial empowerment of women. We have a just unbelievable panel here featuring execs from Coca-Cola, Little Otter, Clutch Wallet, and Features Capital. We dive into all sorts of different angles on how to accelerate your career, find new paths, and figure out how to balance all the challenges in the world. I hope you enjoy.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to part three of our agenda, Family, Financial, and Career Health. My name is Vanessa Rosato, and it is my pleasure to introduce the next panel, Marie Quintero Johnson, Vice President and Global Head of Corporate Development at the Coca-Cola Company, Jenny Barba, Founder of Features Capital, Sandhya Padmanabhan, Chief Marketing Officer at Little Otter, and Beck Jones, CEO of Clutch Wallet. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to be here with us today.
Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you.
So I would love to just start the session by asking each of you to go around, introduce yourselves, tell us, you know, why you're joining us here today, and why it was important to you to participate in this panel. I'm going to start with Sandhya.
Thanks, Vanessa. So first off, I just want to say I'm really honored and humbled to be here with all of these amazing women during Women's History Month. So thank you, and thank you to everyone on the panel. So as Vanessa said, my name is Sandhya Padmanabhan, Chief Marketing Officer at Little Otter. Little Otter is online therapy for your whole family. We are a personalized mental health app for families and children ages 0 to 14. Our mission is to support families with a family-centered approach to care, everything from prevention all the way through to treatment. And it was important for me to be on this panel today because as we think specifically about finding family, financial, and career health, one thing that Little Otter can give parents and particularly mothers is provide access to high-quality care. And that subsequently provides you with more time. And we're doing that with, as I said, quality care.
Wonderful. Sandhya, actually, before we move on to the other panelists and talking to them about their participation on today, we specifically formed this panel because we felt that we needed to have this conversation holistically. We can't talk about career success without talking about the tools and the resources to support working parents and particularly working mothers. And we can't talk about family success without talking about financial wellness and health, the gender pay gap, and the opportunity that technology and some of the new areas that are emerging in society are providing us with to address some of these problems and barriers to women's success and women's financial empowerment. So we wanted to take this holistic approach. But you talked a little bit about why family mental health is the focus for Little Otter in terms of pediatric care, also thinking about the parents. Can you talk a little bit about the role that technology has played in enabling the team to launch specifically at this moment in sort of history and to begin to scale? Because I would love if you talked a little bit too about the journey that you're on at Little Otter. You are in the process of scaling and how that's going.
Yeah, absolutely. So, women remain primary caretakers within the home. We all know that. So when a child gets sick, women are the ones that are asked to borrow time from another part of their life. And it's actually a bit easier when you think about physical health. So let's say that your child sprains their ankle. You may be a trip to the doctor's office, another trip to the pharmacy, you take a day off work, and then you're potentially solving the problem. When it comes to mental health, it's really not that simple, especially for families with children under the age of 5. So the vast majority of people in this country actually don't live within 50 miles of a qualified children's mental health care professional. And actually 70% of counties in the US don't have a single child psychiatrist. So if you think about it, it's between the diagnosis of the problem and then actually the treatment of the problem. Mothers could be forced to put every other element of their life on hold for significant periods of time. Or even worse, their families are not getting the care that they need. So right now, with one out of every six children experiencing a mental health disorder, this really isn't a small scale issue. And that's where Little Otter comes in. And our ability to deliver this care to the comfort of your home, you know, is entirely due to technology and the role that technology is playing in creating this access.
Thank you for that. You know, I would be amiss if we were going to talk about technology and the evolution of technology without talking today about Web 3.0. And Beck, that's where I want to turn to you. As we were preparing, Caroline said, you know, oh, I have this great company. We have to talk about Clutch Wallet. We have to talk about crypto. And we have to talk about the opportunity for women within crypto. So Beck, I would just love it if you could tell us a little bit about how you see technology evolving and why you launched Clutch Wallet. And for the audience members who don't know, although if you, in our Philo platform, if you enter the room about this panel, you'll be able to find more information about Clutch Wallet. But for the folks who don't know, if you could also just introduce Clutch Wallet and what it is.
Absolutely. Well, hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. It's my first virtual conference, so it's nice to be here. My name is Beck Jones, and I am the co-founder and CEO of Clutch Wallet. We are a digital wallet that is marketed towards women and onboarding more women into the world of cryptocurrency investing and what we're now starting to see is this new concept of Web3. I've been in the industry for the last 4 years and something that I recognized kind of halfway through last year was around the participation rates of women as investors in this market, but not just that, in terms of actually builders and women that are kind of working in the space as well. It's interesting to watch crypto as an industry move from being this space of investing to now being a payment space as well, as we're starting to see the introduction of currencies that are being used to make everyday kind of payments online, as well as, you know, the base foundation of technology for new interactions in this digital and social space called the metaverse. So I think what's excited me is that there's so much opportunity in this kind of world of Web3. And the problem that we really saw, the opportunity that we saw was that, you know, women's participation here and their opportunity to actually contribute towards building in this space and investing is a big one. And we want to make sure that they're going to be active in there. So that was kind of the mission behind Clutch. And I'm really excited today to kind of talk more about women's participation in Web3 and a little bit more around what we're doing.
Awesome. And now I just wanted to move to Jenny. And actually, you know, when we talk about participation in structures, particularly financial structures, one of the big topics is obviously access to capital. And Jenny, you are in the process of raising your first fund. So can you just take a minute, and particularly in the healthcare space, to talk us about what you're watching in the space and how your process is going for raising your fund? And do you see an opportunity for more female founders in the space? And are we closing the gap in funding women-led digital health startups? Why not? That's a big question. Jenny, I think I can talk five questions.
I could talk all day, so I'll be brief. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. And this is just a terrific panel. I'm so honored to be here. I feel like I'm in like this opening act for Taylor Swift with Sally Krawcheck coming after us. I'm just like giddy because she is phenomenal. So Ellevest is terrific. And Caroline, what she's doing with Rogue is also, you know, a front runner in the space. So I'm raising a venture capital fund to focus on investing in early stage medical device and health tech companies. And there's a huge opportunity here to invest early, get great valuations, and really build companies for growth and for the investors to get returns on the end. It's not easy. It's a very hard job. And really to look at trends, it's feet on the ground, it's networks, it's relationships, it's innovation centers and hubs, people coming out of big tech, also coming out of universities. And what I'm seeing is a trend that things are, you know, in the middle of the country, in the Southeast. I live in the Northeast. We have a group up here focused on innovation in med tech in Northern New England. And what I'm seeing is that founders are not necessarily getting access to capital in these other areas. They're not on Sand Hill Road. They're not in Cambridge and Kendall Square. So there's an opportunity to really help these founders grow and get access to the investment, to the capital, and then also the resources in building their companies. So that's the goal. In terms of specific innovation, I'm seeing a lot of things, obviously, in women's health. So my first deal is a company called Ocon. It's a women's health platform company. It's Israeli. The CEO is a woman. Many women are on the board. The chairwoman is Anula Jayusaria. And about 80% of the employees are women. So I'm so proud to be having this as my first deal. In my pipeline, I have a handful of exceptional women-founded or women CEO companies also in women's health. I'm not a women's health fund, but sometimes right. this just happens, right? I don't have any prostate companies, but you know, maybe someday. Bone Health Technologies, led by Laura Yeckes, Rhea, which is a next-generation pessary. And the trend here is now that there are more women investors, we're funding women CEOs, and we are also funding things that affect women. So women consumer, mental health, all these other things. And there's a huge opportunity in the market. In medtech in particular, it's really taking technology that's been proven elsewhere in other industries and applying it into the body. So sensing, one of my companies is a next generation continuous glucose monitor. And these are technologies that are changing and saving lives. They're also creating efficiencies to improve hospital access and reducing costs in the system to the hospital, the physicians, and the patients. I just want to point out a couple of fun facts. I'm a data person, so I always have to have facts. So in thinking about how to fund founders and more women, the capital actually really has to make these decisions at a macro level. So our limited partners funding women GPs, and then women GPs funding women founders. And this is a proven model that it works, that when you have diverse investors, you have more diverse teams and better returns, funny enough. I am not just focusing on women CEOs, I'm also focusing on underrepresented founders and veterans, so ethnic minorities and veterans, and also people who didn't come out of big traditional tech centers.
Right.
So just a couple fun facts. So only 2% of venture funds are founded by women, only 2%. 75% of venture funds in the United States have zero female investment decision makers.
Wow.
And then also with COVID, as Sandhya was saying, we've had a lot of women in the research side. So women who are physicians or bench scientist researchers, some statistics came out showing that there's been a reduction in publication submissions by science researchers. So that also then will lead to a reduction in the number of women who get SBIR grants, NIH funding, and then therefore companies and products that come along. So we really have to make an emphasis to, you know, make this a conscious part of our decision making, because the companies that we see. I could talk forever. I'll turn it over. I think you had asked about.
Actually, Jenny, I want to take this opportunity. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for that, and I love the. I think it's really important to ground ourselves in the numbers, because sometimes we talk in broad generalizations, but when you look at the numbers are staggering and they are disquieting. So it's really great. Thank you for bringing that up. Marie, I would like to take that opportunity actually to ask you some questions about the work that you've done. So obviously Coca-Cola, I believe by some estimates, is the most recognized brand and in turn the most recognized company in the world, or certainly one of them. And you have been in a position as a global head of corporate development to use your platform to help empower entrepreneurs through partnerships with Coca-Cola. Can you talk a little bit about the 5x20 initiative that Coca-Cola launched in 2010 and how you see the opportunity to provide resources, whether it's mentorship or, you know, commercial access or even investment to entrepreneurs to help scale new innovations and to help close some of the gaps that actually Jenny was just talking about.
Sure. So first, thank you for having me. I have been a Coke for a long time. I won't tell you how long because it would give away. And I love the fact that I see so many smart, talented women on this panel that are propelling us all forward. My mission at Coke, despite, you know, in addition to doing my day job, is to engage, retain, and develop female talent. That has always been my personal passion. And I tell every female that comes across my path that you have to bring your whole self to work unapologetically. No excuses, right? You have to take care of your kids. You have to take care of your spouse. If you have to take care of your parent, if you have to take care of yourself, that's who you should be. So I will start with that. The 5x20 initiative started in 2010 by our very wise CEO at the time, Muhtar Kent, which while it was 12 years ago, feels like 20 in terms of women's progress. And it was launched at the time to focus on economic development of women. So the commitment was to empower 5 million women by 2020. We actually empowered 6 million women internationally, and it started in countries with underserved populations or focused on the underserved populations of some countries, particularly Africa, Brazil, Philippines. And what we did there is through digital training or small funding through our Save, through our foundation, or through mentoring, we helped give women the skills to establish their own businesses because there's lots of data, as Jenny has pointed out, that shows that when women make money, they disproportionately propel their families forward and communities forward. And we also tied that to initiatives to provide communities with clean drinking water so that, again, women who are primarily responsible, as Sadia said, for the family care, if they were not having to look for clean drinking water, they could spend the time being entrepreneurs in these communities and propelling their family forward economically. That program expanded beyond those 4 countries. And from a Coke perspective, that has evolved into not only are we still doing that, we did that with CARE and Bill Gates Foundation and local communities. That continues. That has been embedded in our company as day-to-day work that we have included in our business plans, if you will. But we also have made a commitment to have 50% of our leadership and therefore 50% of our workforce be held by women by 2030. And it will go a very long way towards answering, I think, one of the questions that was posed, to making it okay that we talk about family and mental health and all the things that are important to women, because women are the ones that have to propel the women forward so that all of these things become okay to be and talk about in the public forum.
So that was a question that came from our audience, and thank you for addressing it. I want to ask you a follow-up, Marie, which is, how is Coke specifically thinking, and this is an audience question, about investments that are female or diversity led?
So we have a very robust diversity and inclusion plan. The first order of business is to invest in underserved communities, and we do that largely through the Coca-Cola Foundation. At the corporate level, we are very focused on engaging, development, and recruiting diverse talent, which will reflect the populations that we are serving or selling products to. And then we have and have always had a very robust supplier diversity initiative that has been focused on ensuring that our supplier base, which is very broad, you might imagine, around the world, also reflects the communities that we serve. So we are in some ways accelerating what was already started with a more specific focus on the communities that are underserved. So for example, I can say that the Latino population in the United States is probably underrepresented in a lot of companies, and that is as much supporting education and mentoring and development, whereas the African-American population would be best served by our supplier diversity. They have the infrastructure. Many times they have the presence in companies, and what they would most benefit from are the networks that would allow them to get into the rooms for people to know their skills and their capabilities to be able to have the opportunity to pitch their company services.
think it's interesting. It's very consistent with what we heard earlier from the panel on empowering female entrepreneurs. It is about a holistic approach. It's not just access to capital. It is also mentorship. It is also access to networks and connections, because so much of this deal making and deal flow is happening through informal networks and just the flow of information through those informal networks and access. Our time together has flown by, actually. And so I want to ask one closing question for everyone, because something, you know, we've talked about family health, financial health, but for each of you on a personal level, how do you think about your career health? And what advice do you have for the audience today who are, you know, looking at this panel and saying, wow, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to, Sandhya, we didn't talk a lot about your history, but I want to leave a big corporate job and go work in startup. And take a risk. Or Jenny, I want to launch a fund, right? And we want to get that 2% number up. What advice do you have for folks who want to think about their career health and Marie having an impact like you have at a company like Coke, right? So let's go around. I'm going to ask if Beck, if you would just kick us off in terms of like your advice on career health.
Sure. And I guess this is from my own personal experience around leaning into what's scared me the most and feeling like when I've identified what those areas were, the step into taking that jump into what was kind of scary is what's allowed me to feel aligned with my mission and kind of fulfillment in my role. A bit of backdrop, I used to work in the banking industry. I felt like I was in a really solid job where there was a really great trajectory that felt really safe. And the startup world and the kind of crypto and Web3 world was something that was scary, that was paying you in a different currency, where there was a lot of volatility and probably not great press around the turn of 2017 mark. And with a lot of people kind of telling me, you know, not to necessarily do that. And so feeling like there was an opportunity to kind of push women into that world with what I was working in and also challenge myself in the new industry that was probably more male dominated has meant that I've felt really aligned in stepping into there and kind of challenging, I guess, some of those pushbacks. So that's probably my advice around leaning into what scares you.
I love that. Sandhya, what about you?
Sure. Actually, quite similarly to what Beck was saying around mission and values. So actually for me with career health, I think about more holistic health. And so for me, career health is part of a bigger picture for me. And it goes back to my mission and values in terms of what's important. And so for me personally, you know, I have three main pillars that I live by. I want to be the best family member that I can be to my family. I want to do the best that I can professionally and leave a stamp on what I'm doing, and then being able to give back to the community. And so if I'm doing all three of those things, that's where I really get kind of my energy and excitement and drive for getting up every day. And so I think about that kind of more holistic health approach as it relates to career health. And so my advice would be, you know, to know your mission and know your values, because that's how you can ultimately make the right choices for you and those around you.
Love that. And know your value, know your worth, right? Marie, what about you? Any advice for the audience today?
Yeah. So it's interesting you say those three. I think the same of those three. If I think back on the 30 years of my career, I've had the same three, but the emphasis on which ones are most important during a period of my life have evolved. And so recognizing that has been very important. And then Beck, hats off to you that you took the plunge. It's really important that you check yourself every few years and make sure that what you're doing is fulfilling for you. I have 14-year-old girls and they say, what should I be when I grow up? And I tell them, happy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You should be when you grow up. And everything else will fall into the three pillars that you described, Sadia, and figure out which of those three are going to make you happy along the way.
So funny. Marie, I identify so much with what you've said. In the past 5 years, I got married, which I wasn't sure I was going to do. I had a baby, which I wasn't sure I was going to do. And I left corporate America, which I never thought I would do. So it just goes to show, you never know what the future holds. So Jenny, I would love to close with you just on your advice.
Yes, yes. So early in I was always curious. I was always wanted to learn. I would always research and, you know, having that science background. And so everything I do, I'm constantly learning. So I think that is critical. If you stop learning, then what's the point, right? And so things might be hard. Things might be challenging. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. There's always somebody to call to be there. Relationships are currency. I also, early in my life, decided to never be financially dependent on a man. And I have a great husband. He's terrific. He actually, you know, when I had my kids, I took some time off and now I'm back. But that was always a really important objective for me. So having financial security, independence, and so forth financially. And then what I do every single day is something that I've been doing since my early 20s. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an engineer. I am a connector. So I just get inspired by listening to people, to hearing their stories, figuring out ways I can help, and getting capital to the companies that need it to then save lives. So having that mission alignment every single day is what drives me.
Amazing. Thank you all for your time today.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please click subscribe, leave a note on what you thought, share it with your friends. Also, go to @VentureFuel on LinkedIn. That's where you can find out about all of our future events, see new podcasts and behind the scenes type of information, as well as we share a lot of startups and new ventures to watch. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.